Boston sucks. The roads are a fucking maze. You kidding me? I'm just supposed to slap some wet, cold fish with mayo on a roll and that's your number one cuisine? And the biggest gripe I have with Boston is that New Yorkers are not fucking welcome. I am a Mets fan. I have no beef with the Red Sox. As a Jets fan, there is a beef with the Patriots. That beef seems to be getting old. With the Jets turning into something. But, more importantly, more than baseball, more than football, or basketball, even with the Knicks and the Celtics, because everybody in the NBA is friends nowadays, but more than all those ball sports, MMA, New York fighters are not fucking welcome in Beantown. What's up, everybody? It is your boy on the road, headed back from Boston. I still have 3 hours left. I'm not going to talk for 3 hours, but why not? Maybe this is the perfect time to recap what was UFC 292. Thank you guys for following, liking, subscribing, everything. Iktagon, iktagon.com. Appreciate it. Much love to the fellow MMA media members and my newest colleagues that I plan to do some collabs in the future with, including Stan the Man, who does a podcast with Dennis the Menace Bermudez. Stan is the man, cool guy, super talented, just waiting to get his shit together. Also, other fellow Long Islanders. Well, Stan might not be the man because he's potentially moving up. Sorry to backtrack a little. Sometimes you gotta take one step back to go five steps forward. But Stan is moving out of Lindenhurst to some fucking upper region of New York. I don't know if he's gonna be the man anymore. He might be Stan on the land. Because he's getting a nice piece of property, God bless him, but he's leaving us Strong Islanders. Yeah, there's Zoom, yeah, there's StreamYard and all that shit, but there's nothing like face-to-face interaction. I know there's an MMA promotion, or maybe it's Dead Serious Fights or Men of War or something that Eugene and Frankie Perez host in Poughkeepsie, so I will make a trip up to Stan's residence and watch those wonderful fights and connect with my upstate friends. But moving forward, I plan to collaborate more often with my fellow Long Islanders, including two media members whom I had wonderful conversation. You guys will hear a little bit later in this episode. We basically did like a live fight companion commentary 15-20 minute segment where Chris Weidman was fighting against Brad Tavares. You guys will hear that in a couple minutes. That was with Frank and Ryan. Really cool dudes. Good vibes. Frank was on that Stony Brook Seawolves D1 deep run into the college playoffs. It was when Stony Brook was a top four team in the nation. This is about maybe 9, 10, 11 years ago, something like that. And really cool dude. Really cool dude. Ryan, the Ryan Show. He's a radio lifer. Live and die on the mic. I obviously respect him. know radio guy when I see a guy, radio guy, and Ryan is one of those guys. They, those guys collab, Frank and Ryan. They are part of the, Pot Butter mix. Frank is, that's his pride and joy. I just had to slam on the brakes there. Boston fucking drivers, I'm done. I'm done with Boston. Get me out of this state! So, anyway. Frank's cool dude. Check out Pop Butter. They are collaborating with Matt Steamroller Frivola. Check them out on Instagram. Frank does a podcast called The Oven _ Pod. It's all good stuff. All good stuff. I gave you the good news. Now the bad news. So, Boston has never treated New York fighters right. Since the last time I was in Boston, UFC 220, January 2018, when I saw my boy, Hurricane Shane Burgos, getting uppercutted, sent reeling by Massachusetts' own Calvin Kattar. That stung deep. That hurt. That hurt. Shane is a Bronx native, carries himself with class, soft-spoken, loud hands. Really, really nice guy. Family oriented. Really cool dude. Respect Shane highly, so it hurt deep when that happened. Now, fast forward to October 2019. Chris Weidman moves up to light heavyweight, faces Dominic Reyes in an ESPN fight night. I think it was like a Friday night fight night. In Boston. Yeah. Chris Weidman. That was tough. That was tough. Dominic Reyes caught him. Chris was sent reeling. And I was like, I didn't put two and two together with Boston. I figured it was a home game for Chris. But man, it's just something in the air, something in the water when it comes to Boston and New York fighters. Now, fast forward 4 years later, UFC 292. Chris Weidman again, he's in Boston. And he freaking re-injures that reconstructed knee. Brad Tavares. All love and fair and war. Completely chopped down Chris. Chris is a fucking gladiator. Did not give up. That fight could have ended multiple times. He could have found a way out of there multiple times. He stuck to his guns. Switched stances. Even after re-injuring his leg. Chris still knocked down Brad Tavares in the second. Beautiful sweeping hooks over the top. Beautiful right hands. Beautiful cage generalship and aggression from Chris. Really, really respected the no back down, no quit attitude. And if anybody was going to come back from a broken bone injury of that severity, it's the All-American Captain America, Chris freaking Weidman. Tough loss. So, before I get to Aljo and versus the UFC, Aljo versus Sugar Sean, here's the live in arena fight companion with Frank and Ryan, who I mentioned earlier.
Watching the fights with Frankie and Ryan.
Yes, sir.
What's your initial thoughts on Weidman? Does he seem tentative? Does he seem locked in? Give me your thoughts, Frank.
Hey, ring rust is a real thing, man, but he seems like he's pretty comfortable in there right now. He's taking a shooting, coming in for a couple takedowns and stuff, so, you know, he seems pretty comfortable. Hopefully he gets out of the first round. We'll see what goes on. He did get touched up a little bit real quick, but he looked like he ate it. Draws back.
I know. It was pretty scary. I go, shake it off, Chris. Ryan, what are your thoughts on Chris right now?
What's that?
What are your thoughts on Chris right now?
Oh, my. This is the All-American, baby. He's about to break both these guys' legs. It's go time.
Oh, I'm nuts.
He knows where he's at. Okay. Boston is, it's an arena. Has a baseball ever hit you in the man genitals?
Oh, dude, baseballs hit me in the nuts, baseballs hit me in the belly button, baseballs hit me in the cheek, in the chin, everywhere, bro.
During PFPs in game, give me some backstory.
So I got hit in the nuts in practice. We were doing dually little T drills. I'm running around the outfield, going left into left center, and I get smoked over the middle. I was out for a minute, bro.
Was there a certain female that took care of you, nursed you back to health?
Yeah, we had those girls back at Stony Brook over there, man. We were gravy.
amazing. I'm here with Long Island's Justin Verlander.
I'll take that.
He's still with Kate Upton, right?
Oh, sure is.
Respect. That'd be his fault if they broke up. I'm blaming him. What do the Mets got to do this offseason? A lot of shit going on. You're the baseball expert.
The Mets, the Yankees, they got to do the same thing, bro. They got to get a lefty bat. They got to get some starting pitching. And honestly, rebuild. Let the kids play. Get some major league reps. See how the game speeds up a little bit. That'd be beneficial for both sides, man. There's nothing wrong with a little bit of a rebuild.
Rumor is that Steve Cohen has to at least make an offer. $600 million, just throw some crazy wackadoo number out there. Even if Shohei wants to stay on the West Coast, Mariners, Angels, Dodgers, do you believe Cohen's going to make that offer at least to save face with the fan base?
Yeah, I think he's got him, man. I think more or less it's just like you said, to save face. But I see him going to the Mariners, bro. No, I see him going to the Mariners. That's Ichiro built that society over there for him. He didn't want to start there, but he's his own entity now, so there's no reason he don't go to Seattle. He loves it over there.
A Seattle staple is catching fish. Out of 10 fish thrown your direction, how many think you're catching?
Fuck.
I know you could pitch, but yeah. You got hands?
I'm hoping at least 9 or 10 of them, bro.
Were you a pitcher who was shagging fly balls?
Hell yeah, I was in left field all day, bro. Pulling off Travis Jankowski left and right.
Amazing. You big in the prospects, farm systems, anything like that?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I love Luis Angel for the Mets, man. I'm a big Acuna guy. I like the Braves. I'm a Yankees fan, but I love Ronald Acuna, so that whole family's going to – that Acuna last name is going to be a staple for a very long time in the MLB.
Rumor is that the – not a rumor. It's a stated information that the Braves have the best farm system. Do you agree?
The Braves are deep, man. The Braves always have really good player development. You know, when's the last time the Braves have been bad? Like, think about that. The last time the Braves have been bad is like – Early 2000s, maybe. But, like, they always have pitching, man. They just produce pitcher after pitcher after pitcher. So, with that recipe, it's tough to lose, you know? And they always have a good bullpen. Good bullpens, good defense. And there's not a hole in that lineup right now. So, you know, Braves are looking good. They showed out on the Yankees, too.
Did the Mets do right by getting a baby Acuna? You think he's going to pan out?
Hell yeah, man. He might not be Ronald because Ronald's the best, but... He's going to pay dividends for that New York Mets team for sure.
Amazing.
Good first round, baby. Good first round.
Ryan, give me your thoughts on round one. Weidman's return.
Round one, I think we've got this robot leg holding up well. We'll see if there's any cybernetic extensions or some extra added.
What's a cybernetic extension?
Yeah, some type of cyborg strength in Weidman's leg. We have to find out as the fight goes on if it's going to last. Let's see what happens. So far, he's been kicked in the nuts. He's still standing. We're moving into round two. Both men are looking about even at this point. Let's see where it goes.
Is that a smoke machine, or are they just blowing cannabis into the crowd?
No, we got to hit it to find out. Let's go. You go first.
Amazing. I feel like Elon Musk is somebody who would do, like, cyborg body limbs. Like,
definitely would cheat. But is that really tested for? Do they actually give people, like, a metal detector before the fight? We know whether they're testing for steroids and hormones, But are they testing for, I guess, cybernetics? What do they call that now? Cyborg extensions of your body?
Sure, whatever you say, I believe it. When it comes to that fight, man, I'm going with Zuckerberg. I feel like the truth is always exposed on Fight Night. If Musk, I think he's like 50-something, if he's taking all these TRT, steroids, the truth will be...
Yeah.
Zuck's been putting in the work in the mats. He's competed. Big Cat has actually talked shit about him competing. I'm like, dude, he's putting himself out there. You can't talk shit about that. I got Zuckerberg, not only because he's a New York native, but because he's...
a reptilian. And you're,
he's a, the reptile people.
Win. Yes, exactly. Oh, man, here we go. So it begins.
Throw out your handle. Where can everybody find your wonderful edited content?
Edited FM friendly family or family friendly content at The Ryan Show. All over the place, all platforms. You know where to find me, at The Ryan Show.
Wow, I thought it was going to be like at The Ryan Show 1469. Like, you're the original one.
Somehow I did it first, or at least I got that handle. I tell you, it was a $1 million handle, man. If it weren't for that handle, I'd be a nobody.
Oh, no. What are we looking at, boys?
Oh, that leg.
He switched stances. Was it the right leg?
I missed it. Yeah, it looks like it was.
A lot of time left in the round.
He's really aiming for those legs.
He should wrestle, man.
He's got to take him down. Oh, there we go.
Is it the left leg?
That he broke? I thought it was his right leg. Maybe I'm wrong.
But that got hurt right now. Something was
being
favored.
They're zooming on his right leg. That's what they were. But he's leading with it now, so.
After seeing The Last Dance, they said that Jordan's hurt leg was stronger than the other leg when he came back from that calf injury. Do you think there could be something going on with that, that Weidman's hurt leg is stronger? Maybe the left leg got tagged and now it's weaker?
That's a good point. I guess you're putting a lot of work in.
But his hands are looking good.
His hands are looking real good. Oh, he's hyped. Oh, he's hyped. Oh, he's not scared at all. Oh, he's telling him to keep the leg. Let's go. It's like a Hulk Hogan pump up. He's hyped up.
Oh, my God. Weidman is making a comeback. He kicked so far. Oh. Weidman just kicked Brad Tavares' nut shot. Is this gamesmanship or did he really get him?
I think he clipped him a little bit.
Dude, perfect timing. Now he gets to recover. Wait, was it clean? I missed it.
It was clean. It was clean. It was
clean in the dick. It's an actual penal shot. He's on the ground right now recovering. Oh, man. But you know that's karma,
man. They're going tit for tat.
A nut for a nut.
He was tagging him. He was tagging him. As you guys can hear, the fan reaction are not happy. Chris Weidman, he kicked Brad Tavares. He seemed to, I don't think he re-injured the leg that had surgery. I think it was the opposite leg, as I mentioned with The Last Dance. Maybe the opposite leg gets stronger. You've heard that with Derrick Rose. Same type of deal. Michael Bisping has said that as well. Weidman started to purge forward. He was making a comeback. He tagged Tavares. He was slapping his thigh, telling Tavares to kick him in the thigh. And then all of a sudden, he's got momentum on his side. He's got the crowd on his side. He kicks Tavares in the balls. And the crowd is booing because they saw their boy Chris Weidman with momentum.
Oh my God.
All right, action is back started. Oh! Chris Weidman drops Tavares. They're circling each other. I don't believe either fighter's got momentum. Tavares seemed to have cleared the cobwebs after being tagged severely multiple times from the All-American.
Let's go, Weidman! Let's go, Weidman!
Chris just got shucked off. Went deep on a double leg. Possibly didn't want to gas out, give everything into that takedown. Seems like he is trying to regain his gas tank. Tavares probably senses this. He's throwing heavy strikes, body shot, long crosses. Oh! Wow, Chris Weidman pulling out the Wonder Boy kick. Beautiful roundhouse to 1-2 combination. Tavares does not want a piece of that again. Weidman throws. Tavares clinches up. And now Weidman is pressing against the fence, throwing knees in the clinch. Brad Tavares has one underhook. Chris potentially trying to set up a takedown. He gathers one leg for a single. But Tavares really worked the wrestling this training camp. Tavares' takedown defense looks phenomenal. It's a do-or-die fight for both these guys. Weidman, 39. Brad Tavares, 35. Winner take all. Main event of the early card. Last event on ESPN. These fights are always a big deal. Is it a round apiece?
Man, you know, they say that John Wayne's Bobbitt, third leg, got stronger and harder after it was destroyed the first time. And we're looking at a similar situation with Weidman right now. That leg is looking firm.
Round apiece, Frank?
I think round apiece. I think we're pretty much round apiece here.
Oh, yeah, round apiece. Yes, absolutely.
Who wants it more? Who wants it more? I want more popcorn.
Yeah, that looked like some fire popcorn, man. You made somebody's night. Right? It's not normal you get handed some fresh popcorn in TD Garden by a New Yorker, man. What
it was
hell?
Sealed. It was sealed.
Was it
sealed? I hope he ate it. All right, they're showing the replays on the big screen. Chris Weidman, I think that was officially a drop or a knockdown from Weidman. I'd say he took that round. He looked great. Way to recover after the stinger. I don't know if it was just like a ligament that got numb, like when the doctor hits your that rubber triangle on your knee. But Weidman recovered nicely, started doing damage. And here we go, third round. The Boston crowd is rallying around the New Yorker. You gotta love this. Unless a bunch of New Yorkers traveled. You know, not that bad to drive. I got here relatively fast. Not bad. Shout-outs to the New England drivers. We're driving amazing. Oh, Tavares throws a roundhouse just like Justin Gaethje. Throws a leg kick. Chris Weidman, he's winning the footwork battle. He put Brad Tavares. He's putting the pressure on Brad Tavares. But maybe he's telling something in his stance because Tavares has continued to attack with the low kicks. So that was definitely part of the game plan. Low kick, low kick, low kick. I mean, it's a savage sport. You got to attack the injury if you smell blood in the water.
That's how it works, man. We're dealing with real sharks here in the UFC.
And now this is the product of all those low kicks in training camp that now he's getting his balls teed off.
Literally.
That was bad. That was bad.
That was brutal.
I don't think he's going to have any more kids.
I expect they're going blow for blow, so be prepared to see another low blow by Weidman at this point.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
All is fair in love and MMA.
That's what they say.
If there was any doubt that Weidman was going to play around, placate to the crowd, that is thrown out the window. I think he's pissed off.
It's a real heel move to kick someone in the balls, but he's learning from the greats.
Have you tried Prime yet?
How do I try?
Have you tried Prime, the energy drink?
That's a good question. The answer is no, and I've never tried an energy drink in the past 10 years, not since the OG Monster, which happens to be right there on the center stage. They won the battle.
Whoa! What's going on? Tavares is going. Wow, wow. Brad Tavares, as we talked about before.
With
man. You know everybody's going to freaking ask about this in the press room. What the hell? Does his knee look swollen? The lead knee?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Very bad. There's a lot of blood rushing
to. Tough son of a bitch. Man. It seems like Chris is in a rock and a hard place. You know, he can't take down Tavares, and he's getting picked apart from distance. He's got to either really go for the takedown or land something, because right now, we're halfway through the final round. Tavares is winning this fight.
Well, Wu-Tang once said protect your neck, but it looks like it's now protect your nuts after tonight's fight.
Yeah. Big overhand left from Weidman. He's willing that crowd behind him. The crowd wants to erupt. You could feel it, man. The TD Garden, they're willing the All-American to make a dramatic comeback, not only in his career, but in this fight. But Tavares sticking to the game plan, chopping that tree. Come on. Under 2 minutes left. We just got walked by a Matt Frivola lookalike. About 90 seconds left. I don't know. I would guess that Chris is trying to pace himself for like a final sprint. But man, Tavares, leg kick, left a leg kick. You think he's tagging a nerve, or we got some serious damage going on?
I think we got some serious damage. Let's see, though. Let's see what happens. It ain't over. We still got a few seconds here. 66 seconds.
This is wild, man. The media is going to have a field day with this. I really... How you doing?
You guys are with Fox?
Yeah. Is this... We're making our way through, yeah.
All right, no problem. No problem. Thank you.
I was going to interview the usher. Seconds. It's now or never. Are we going to have a miracle moment? 10 seconds. If he lands that wheel kick that he did on Luke Rockhold, that'd be amazing. Tavares took it. You got to give him credit. The crowd was not on his side. He got dropped. Bunch of nut shots, but what are your final thoughts on the Weidman Tavares?
Oh, man. I mean, it's good to see Weidman complete a fight without having anything horrible happen. I was on my toes the whole time. The amount of damage that was done to that leg, like you said, he was chopping at it like a tree. I guess we'll see what the judges say. I don't think it's going to be a split decision, but we'll see.
Way to be a warrior. Frank, a former D1 athlete, take us through the athlete's perspective. What'd you see from Weidman, who is the herd animal, and then Tavares, who smelled blood in the water?
Honestly, man, Weidman looked hurt in the first, man. He put on an absolute show for the next two. So hopefully he comes out with the victory. It could be a split decision, but we'll take it either way.
Amazing.
Go back down to that media spot.
Frank, Ryan, I appreciate you guys. Again, follow them at The Ryan Show. Frank, former Stony Brook D1 pitcher turned pot buddy, pot butter co-founder. You got to love and appreciate these boys. We're going to find our way back to the media center.
Love those guys, and that was not pre-planned. I'd just like to record some ambient sound when I'm in the arena. I did that before with Matt Favola versus Drew Dober in New Jersey. I got the steamroller on tape, the crowd noise, and I like to do that. It just so happened that I just started asking these guys questions, and they were playing ball. Good speakers. They got radio in their blood, podcasting in their blood. So they roll with the punches. Really cool dudes. But yeah. Main event happened. Aljamain Sterling took all the risk here. Okay? He took all the risk. His legacy, his profile, his championship bantamweight belt. He put it all on the line to make a quick turnaround. 2.5 months? It's well documented that he is one of the biggest pound-for-pound fighters in his given weight class. I don't think he gave his body after a 5-round battle with one of the greatest fighters the UFC has ever seen in Henry Cejudo. One of the greatest combat sports athletes in history, who's in phenomenal shape, who's coming to take the head of Aljamain Sterling. Henry Cejudo was not an easy out. 5-round battle chess match was Aljamain versus Henry. Then the UFC, I'm sure, throws a drop in the bucket Aljo to make him agree to a fight that was announced before he even agreed with the Sean O'Malley, Aljamain Sterling headlining UFC 292 in Boston. Aljo didn't have anything in paper, didn't have anything signed. The UFC are that confident, that savvy of businessmen, that they announced a fight, no contracts being signed, no money being discussed, that they go, you know what, we'll throw a couple of extra $100K at Aljo, money he's never seen before. He'll agree to it. And he did. And I'm sure Aljo took that fuel, said, yeah, I'm getting extra money. You know what? He looked at the positives. I'm gonna crush this kid. Boston's not a far trip, okay? I'm gonna crush this kid. He's got zero grappling in comparison to me. I'm gonna crush this kid. The UFC is gonna see the mistake they made when I signed this fight. I'm going to crush their poster boy. The UFC looked at the positives. Yeah, maybe Aljo could go on his podcast. Maybe he could go on another radio show or another TV show and talk about, yeah, I got paid this much money for this fight. There could be some negatives to the UFC paying Aljo more than he's ever seen. Paying him more than probably like light heavyweight champions. Maybe on like, maybe even more than like an Israel Adesanya, a Dustin Poirier, to get him to sign it. They're like, yeah, you know what? What's 2, 3, 4, 500 extra thousand? Yeah, we see the positives in this. Sean O'Malley has 10 months to prepare for one style. Because whether or not Henry Cejudo or Aljamain Sterling won, Sean O'Malley was facing an elite wrestler, an elite grappler. He had 10 months to prepare a rested body. He suffered an injury, a muscle strain, 6 weeks earlier. He was still able to compete. That's how much his body was able to recover and repair itself over those 10 months. that he was able to not grapple for 6 weeks and still be fresh as a daisy? Man, this goes without saying. If you guys didn't know, Boston is a heavy, heavy Irish community. Dana White's from Boston. Bill Burr's from Boston. Breaking news. Sean O'Malley's Irish. It couldn't be more louder in that building. Fuck you, Al Joe. Shh, 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 shh. Fuck you, Al Joe. Shh, 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 shh. And the UFC got their way. Their poster boy won. They are going to make tenfolds more than, let's just say, 500 extra K that they had to pay Aljo. That 500K fee has already made more. The gate of UFC 292 was the second highest in the TD Garden's history. I think it was 6 or 7 million. They have already made more than that 500K. Even say if it's $1 million that they paid Aljo. They've already made that and some. Insane. And nice little behind the curtain for you guys. The UFC has never, never posted a pay-per-view finish on their social media ever. The UFC posted the entire start of the second round. The entire round, the entire finish, the post-fight interview, the replays. Absolutely played Aljamain Sterling. A dirty, dirty business move. Dirty. I saw on somebody's, this is how I found out about this being posted on YouTube, the finish. Somebody said, wow. The UFC really, really, really wanted O'Malley to win that. Yeah. Yes. Yes. They got their boy fast tracked to a title fight. Eddie Weiland? Marlon Vera? Andrei Sukumatov? What? Peter Yan barely? Are you kidding me? The UFC played Aljo. Dirty, dirty move. Dirty move. And I pray that Aljo can dust himself off, pick himself up, come back, win, get back in a title fight at neutral ground. I'm not asking for MSG or UBS Arena in Belmont, Long Island. I'm not asking for that. Get them in Vegas. Get them in Miami. But this fucking rematch needs to happen. Poster boy needs to be humbled. And now he's going to cherry pick. He doesn't even want a rematch, Aljo. Aljo took all the risk. As I said earlier, Aljamain Sterling took all the risk. Put his balls on the table. And now Sean O'Malley is just going to flick him off like a mosquito. Jeez. Jeez. Insanity. Dirty move, dirty move, dirty move. I'm still fuming over it, if you guys can't tell. I'm pretty fucking livid. And, yeah. Up yours, Boston. Up yours.